Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our goal is to bring you interesting topics and guests with each of our shows. We are broadcasting on 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. With us today from Morcus Chocolates is Claudia Kenzior.
Correct, yes.
Claudia, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. I am very excited to be here.
So, my question to you is, a lot of people say, how do you really say the name of the business?
That's a great question, Ron. It is Morcus, like more kisses. It actually is the last name of the family that started the business way back in 1920. You can say Morcus and Morcus, which is the way a lot of people say the name. We will answer to all of it. And we actually do get phone calls, Ron. People from an office will say, okay, we've got a bet going. How do you say the name of the store? It is Morcus, without an apostrophe or anything else. Morcus Chocolates.
That's awesome, because my wife told me that it's not Morcus, it's Morky. So this way I can go back now. I've got it on tape.
Yes,
perfect.
You do.
That's perfect. And your shop, I know, is located in downtown Huntley. Mm-hmm. How long have you folks been there?
This is our seventh year already. We were in Algonquin on Algonquin Road for 8 years. Then we moved here, and the developer approached me. I was not really thinking about moving at that time, but I thought, you know what? They're talking about Randall Road construction. Not sure if I want to stay at this location. Tens of thousands of cars go past you every day on Algonquin Road, but not everybody's going to stop. When he brought the plans to me, I was immediately taken by the beautiful patio out in front that was planned. And what really sold me was the slanted door, the front door. I just thought that's a corner shop, and that's where we should be.
Well, that's great. And how long ago did the business actually start?
1920, on the west side of Chicago, in what's now known as the Pilsen neighborhood. It was 26th and Trumbull. It was started by Grandpa Morcus. He was working for Nabisco at the time. Nabisco was actually going through layoffs, and he vowed he would never want to do that to his family, to lose a job by someone else's hand. He started the business, didn't know a lot about making chocolate, self-taught, and then his son, Bill, when he returned from World War II as a fighter pilot, he was able to get additional ration coupons for butter and sugar, and they kept the business going. Today, the flagship store in Palatine is still there. It's been there since 1967, and Rhonda Morcus Dunn owns the Morcus Corporation. I independently own the store here in Huntley.
Wow, so how many total stores are there, Claudia?
Just two of us, my store and Rhonda's store.
And you've been in Huntley for, let's see, how many years now?
Yeah, it's the seventh year already, and it was an interesting move. When we decided to do this, we made it through Mother's Day in Algonquin, shut the store down at the end of the day, and within 2 weeks moved all our fixtures, all our equipment, taught ourselves how to make coffee. We really didn't know how to use an espresso machine, and taught ourselves how to use a donut machine and make wonderful donuts. In those 2 weeks, we opened on time. Actually, we were 30 minutes late because we had one last fire inspection to do. So essentially on time on June 1st.
That's awesome. The thing, too, is it's a lot of people like chocolate. Mm. So how did you gravitate towards a chocolate shop?
You know, it's an interesting story. The way I was at my son's fourth grade feast at St. Thomas the Apostle in Crystal Lake. And my son now is 27 years old, so that's quite a long time ago. And one of the moms brought in a box of Morcus chocolates. And I said, wow, I grew up with this chocolate. My grandparents and my parents were from that old neighborhood. And so I actually had seen the boxes, had enjoyed that chocolate for years. And she just, you know, nonchalantly said, my sister's always looking for help. I went there with like a mom's job, 9 to 1, 9 to 3. Then Rhonda said, you know what, we should really open up a store closer to you so you don't have to drive from Crystal Lake to Palatine every day. And that's what started it.
You know, when you think about chocolate, of course, the most famous name in Chicago is Fannie Mae. Mm-hmm. Been around for years and years. So when they opened up their shop, and being that it's going back to when 1920, you mentioned, mm-hmm. That was really some competition to go up against, because Fannie Mae had a heck of a name for many, many years.
They really did. And I am very proud of the fact that we outlasted Fannie Mae and C's on Randall Road. They both have moved on. If you look around, chocolate shops are very often family-owned and for at least three generations. You've got Andersons in Richmond, you've got Grahams in Geneva. It stays in one family for many, many years. And it's kind of an amazing business to last that long.
Well, we lost another chocolate, too. That was the chocolate that Marshall Fields put out for many, many years.
Yes, for Frangos, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that kind of disappeared. It's still there, but it's not the same as when Marshall Fields
Correct.
And that's the franchise.
Yeah, that's what people say about Fannie Mae, and that's what I think people really enjoy about Mork is the quality is there. We haven't tinkered with the recipes. We still use great ingredients, and it is just as delicious as it has been.
So how many people does it take to make all these great treats?
It takes quite a few. Even we are a small business. We've got 2 to 3 chocolatiers. We've got 2 donut makers. And, you know, if anybody out there wants to be a donut maker, there's always a position if you're an early riser. Donut makers arrive in the store between 3:30 and 4 a.m. We have donut dippers. We have retail people in the front. And then we also have birthday party hostesses. And so it's about, I have about 12 to 15 people.
Now, Claudia, come on. How do you become a chocolatier now? Come on, tell us about that.
A lot of trial and error. You know, it really is. Now, you know, the internet is great for like being self-taught. It truly is trial and error. We use tempered chocolate, so you have to learn how to deal with the chocolate, tempering it, and it always has to look glossy and have a good snap. If it doesn't, the chocolate's not in temper.
So how do you go about this tempering?
We do have a tempering machine, but it's all temperature controlled. You have to add what we call a seed chocolate to it, and that crystallization process is what makes it grows more crystals within the chocolate, and that's how you get the chocolate that's nice and hard and has that signature snap.
And how do you become a dipper?
Oh, a dipper's tricky. a dipper is not as easy as it sounds. There's a lot of pressure in donut dipping. You know, people think when you're a dipper, you're kind of like Lucy and Ethel, and we have that a lot of that going on too. But a donut dipper, we have probably 25 different varieties of donuts. So it's just basically knowing what to put on when. But it's a time crunch. We open at 7 a.m. 6 days a week. So everything's got to be out, and all our trays have got to be loaded.
So what you're saying, if I'm a dunker, I'm not a dipper.
Correct. But if you get up early, we are willing to work with you.
Okay. So you say it's pretty easy to work with chocolate. What mm-hmm. makes it so easy?
You know, really, patience. Definitely patience. You've got to just have patience. And that's something that I'm not the best dipper myself because I don't have that amount of patience. But if you have the patience just to let the chocolate go and set up a little bit, you'll be fine.
Okay. The ingredients for your chocolates, and I mm-hmm. think cocoa is one of the ingredients, isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And aren't there some markets that are becoming very difficult to get ingredients for chocolate? The demand is very, very high for it.
Yeah. The demand worldwide obviously is huge for chocolate, and it always has been. Chocolate production, the cacao pod, is like from a cocoa tree, will be affected by climate change. Chocolate needs a really specific environment, humidity and temperature and the soil. The trees don't propagate that quickly. It's all harvested by hand. It's rather amazing that those family farms can produce enough cocoa pods to feed the world because the demand is always going up. But it will be as if sea levels rise or if temperatures rise, cocoa production will be affected.
So you got these big people like Hershey, for example, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they buy tons and tons of it. So yeah. How does it affect a small shop that you're going to get your supplies?
Well, price for one thing. Hershey's, you know, they're going to start adding more and more additives and fillers. You know, we have never added wax to our chocolates. People complain about some of our competitors, like, wow, it just tastes waxy now. That's a way you can make it stretch, and that's something we'll never do. Pricing across the board on all my products in the last year, even just a simple donut box for 250 boxes at a time has gone up $30 in the past year. So all prices are just going up and up and up.
So what do you find? Do you find more dark chocolate lovers as opposed to milk chocolate?
It still is a majority of milk chocolate lovers. It's not even 50-50. We always say it's 2/3 milk and a good third of dark.
So when you're making your chocolates, so how do you make the milk chocolate as opposed to the dark chocolate?
Yep, we have separate melters. We do have additional melters, and then white is also made by hand, and it's a very time-consuming hand operation. You know, it's not a big production for us. It's just a couple of molded things at a time. We do get our creams and truffles from the Palatine store because they have different equipment than we have. But otherwise, everything we make in our store, we make on site. We make the donuts fresh every day. If we don't sell them out, they are in the day-old section the next day, which is great. You know, you can't tell me that a large grocery store puts their bakery in a day-old section the next day, but we do. All our molded chocolates, like for holidays, Santas, Easter bunnies, graduation hats. We dip our own chocolate strawberries, caramel apples. That we make all in-house.
You know, whether it's milk chocolate or dark chocolate, and you have it in your store, is there a aging limit on it where you say after so many days, you know, that's it, we have to take it off the shelf?
Chocolate is remarkably stable. I have never in my years seen a piece of moldy chocolate. If anything, it'll pick up environmental smells, you know, of like oil or smoke or maybe the wrapper of plastic or foil. But the chocolate itself does not go bad, which is really amazing.
So being a guest in your shop one day, I looked at all the varieties that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I mean, there's so many different. How do you keep track and know what to do?
We do, and we always say, you know, the people that work for me, I always say you have to be able to describe the pieces. So you need to come, you know, after school, if you're a teenager, you need to have a piece of chocolate. What other boss is going to tell you that? Because if someone asks you, how does that taste? You need to know. And truthfully, we're lucky enough that we can decide, well, maybe we like a peanut cluster in milk better than an almond cluster. Maybe we want an almond cluster in dark chocolate. So things do taste different, and some things taste better in one or the other.
So how many varieties do you actually have right now?
That's a good question, Ron. I would say we probably have a good 30 to 40 varieties in our assorted box. And then we have about 12 to 15 different truffles. We've got 6 different toffees. Our toffee is the best in the world. It's so buttery and so good. We have chocolate-covered Oreos, graham crackers, pretzel rods, all those good things.
And you came today without any samples.
What? Oh, my goodness. I thought this was radio. I didn't know this was television.
Just a reminder to all of our guests, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And for more information, please go to huntleyradio.com, click on Contact Us, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. With us right now is Claudia Kenzior from Morcus Chocolates. And we're talking about all the different varieties. And when you want to create a new variety, how do you go about that?
You know, it's, again, the internet is great. Pinterest is great. Customer input is great. One of our number one sellers is a caramel square covered in chocolate with sea salt on the top. And that was a customer suggestion over 10 years ago. And he still comes in. His name is Doug. I'm sorry I don't know your last name, Doug, to give you more credit. But how wonderful. Yeah, he said he was in Aspen. He said, you've got to do this. You've got to do this. And we're like, oh, yeah. Well, that is our number one seller. So we are willing to try anything, and we do that often. Even mistakes can become really good sellers.
So when you're creating all these different types of chocolates, do you like put them out and say, let's have some people test them, see what you think about them? Or how do you go about that, Claudia?
Well, if you've ever seen my morning crew, we call that, you know, my business consultants. I just posted a picture of the guys out on the patio having coffee the other day. It was a nice sunny day. Yes, we will absolutely put samples out. We'll give it to groups. We'll give it to each other. We'll take it home to our families and get people's input.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in owning a shop, there has to be some good things about it and some things that drive you crazy. What's the best part of owning a shop?
The best part really are the customers. And I love looking through the donut case at some child, you know, on Friday or Saturday mornings. It's a tradition for a lot of families to come for donuts. And when I see a little sparkly face on the other side of that case, it just really warms my heart. It's just great to see the families come in for coffee and donuts and to know that we are part of that we've really created something and part of their tradition as a family. The worst part right now is just trying to control costs. You know, it's hiring and it's minimum wage and it's the supply chain, and just costs are just going up, just like we all have experience in our own home budgets. Costs are just going up and up and up.
So we talked about chocolates. Let's talk about donuts now. Okay.
So I didn't bring those either. Oh my.
That's okay. So, there's some of the basic donuts that everyone you know knows about, but how you create your new donuts, the new type of donut?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to our other donut maker that's been with us since the beginning, Ellen Bakke. She's a resident of Huntley. Many of the creations were her original ideas. We have a German chocolate donuts, you know, dipped in caramel or dipped in chocolate with coconut and pecans and drizzling caramel. Tastes like a German chocolate cake. One of the best things is a margarita donut. We do every Cinco de Mayo with, you know, lime zest and margarita glaze on it. All across the board, the case is filled with just ideas that came from one of us. Another really popular one is that we have is a maple bacon one. It is like having a pancake on your plate with a side of bacon.
Now, tell me, does a dipper get to sample these if you're a dipper?
Sure. The dipper needs to understand how they taste and how they and to know the routine, and tasting is fine.
I think our engineer here, Jim, wants to be a dipper because he likes to sample the maple bacon donuts. So I think you got a dipper right here at the station.
Oh, that's awesome to know.
So what is the most popular donut?
You know, it probably is that maple bacon. We also do a caramel pecan. It's a donut dipped in caramel, pecans, and drizzled in chocolate. That would be number two. And also, because we are a chocolate shop, we will always have nuts and peanuts. So a donut dipped in chocolate or vanilla with peanuts is popular. Other donuts to help out kids with peanut allergies have gone peanut-free. But we will always have nuts in our store, so we will always have nuts on our donuts.
I was just going to ask you about the kids that have the peanut allergies. Mm-hmm. What you make for them or what's available for them?
You know, we really strive to do a good, safe job for them. And we have a mom, Erica. So hi, Erica, if you're listening, that trusts us enough to make peanut-free donuts for her kids. And she's never had an issue, thank goodness. We change out our gloves. We will take the donuts right off of the donut machine. We'll change out the frostings, heat up a brand new batch. So nothing ever is around peanuts for her kids. So we can absolutely do that as a request. Our birthday parties are always peanut free. So there's no peanuts in that in our party room, and nothing in there has been touched by chocolate. We always tell the moms, you know, if it's a really, really severe allergy and they can't even inhale the smell of nuts, then obviously don't come in the store. But otherwise, the children are safe.
Is a chocolate donut still one of the favorites?
Oh, like a yellow cake with chocolate icing? Yeah, that's an all-time. That's a very perennial favorite, yes.
So how do you handle parties? People come and say, I want to have a party. Do you host those, or how does that work?
That's a party. The party idea, I think, started over 20 years ago in the Palatine location. The kids make, or adults, it doesn't have to be just children, a chocolate pizza, which means we make a puddle of milk chocolate on a tray for them. Everyone works on their own. And then we have different toppings, like red sprinkles are the tomato sauce, Smarties could be the onions, Swedish fish are the anchovies, so super cute. And then they get white chocolate to drizzle on the top as cheese. Then they get their own plastic mold and they can make chocolate suckers, either butterflies or dinosaurs or ice cream cones. And at the end of the party, they make get pretzel twists, and they dip and decorate those. Everybody takes home their very own projects, so they're very proud of their projects, in a tote box labeled with their name, and they're good to go. It's a great party, worry-free for the moms, and we have wonderful party hostess named Linda, or her party name is Mimi, who does a great job, just very gentle with the kids and keeps them occupied and keeps them moving. It's very stress-free for the families.
And where do you host this party, Claudia?
We actually have a party room. So in the party room, we can. It's a minimum of 10 kids for the party. We can go up to 20, 25. It's great to have parties back. We weren't able to host parties for 2 years with COVID, so we're thrilled to have parties back. And upcoming now for the summer, we will host again candy camps. You know, chocolate shops, the business kind of goes down in the summer because you don't want to take chocolate to a party. It's going to melt, right? So we started doing candy camps to get more business and actually won a national award for it. Different topics. You know, we've done a baseball topic. We've done a unicorn topic. So the kids make different projects specified to that topic. And we'll be announcing our lineup of candy camps pretty soon.
So in the candy camp, what's that age group?
Anything. You know, we've had three-year-olds that will need help to grandma sitting right next to them doing it for herself. So it could be any group or any age at all. You sit with, it's just we have our large table and everyone will sit around together, you know, just a group of different kids, different moms, and making the same projects.
So that means that both Jim and I are eligible in for the candy camp?
Oh, yeah,
camp?
Absolutely. You know, you'll probably be the most popular ones in the room.
I was keeping my fingers crossed.
Yes, yes. But what would be your favorite topic to come in and to make? Let me see. We've done unicorns. We've done trolls. We've done island living, camping. Maybe some island. Maybe we should do an adult island living with some maybe daiquiris on the side, right?
Oh, okay. That sounds like an idea. So what are the plans for the future, Claudia?
That's a great question. Plans for the future. I really would like to expand more into having the ability just for people to walk in. We do walk-in fondues, to have more parties at our store, and just to expand our like a catering business. I think a lot of businesses don't realize that we make donuts every day and that we could, you know, or deliver muffins or donuts or coffee to there when they're having a meeting at their locations.
So are there things that a parent, let's say a mom comes in and says, I want to do certain things for the party, mm-hmm. For my child, then how you present them with a package of ideas?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing that we would like to do is saying, because a lot of times the teenagers say, oh, I loved the party, but I was a little kid then, you know, they might be 14, 15, 16 years old. So we need like a teenage party, something that would attract them to come back. We also would like to attract teenagers after school just to come in and, you know, we make great frappuccinos just so they realize that we have great coffee drinks. You know, it's a lot easier when you don't have to get out of your car and you can go to a drive up somewhere and order your drinks. So we would love to have more teenagers come out in the afternoon.
You know, I'm sure there's some teenagers that would like to learn more about how chocolate is processed, how it's made. Mm-hmm. So would a class like that be something that if kids came in and said, gee, Claudia, can you show me how do you make chocolate? Just like you have these sessions where how to cook or how to go with a special carving knife, how to do mm-hmm. different things. Especially a teenager might be interested in doing something like that.
That's a really good idea, too. I've done a couple classes in the food classes at Huntley High School, you know, before COVID. And, you know, a lot of those kids from the food classes do funnel into the culinary program at McHenry County College. So that would be good. That would be a great way to expose them to what we do. And they would really be able to learn a lot. That's a very good idea.
Yeah, I don't think people know that much about confection and what goes into it, other than seeing it at the store and on the shelf and what have you. But mm-hmm. it might be an opportunity to, you know, bring them along and teach them mm-hmm. and also learn about all the different varieties. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, how do you choose the size of that particular chocolate, whatever the type may be? How do you pick mm-hmm. that size?
And you're talking about like within a box, like one of our assortments?
Your assortments, is it going to be an inch by an inch or a half inch by a half inch? How do you pick the size?
It really is. So you want to make sure that people get a really good variety within every box. So our 1 pound box should have 20 to 25 pieces in it. If the chocolate's way too much or they're too big or they're going to take over the box, then they're not getting a great variety. So like a half inch, you know, buying a half inch is about a really good size.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. Mm-hmm. And what's coming up for the summer months for you now?
Yeah, other than candy camps, you know, the summer is when we plan out our holidays. You know, we start to have to look ahead of day at our packaging, what we want to accomplish, what kind of baskets we want to be able to present. Always want to get out there and present ourselves to different corporations saying, hey, you could use us for all your gift giving. And we always need improvements to our website. So, you know, everyone shops online. At home, you know, you want to shop in your pajamas at 11 o'clock at night. So, you know, nothing that warms my heart more than orders coming in at 2 a.m.
So going through all those different steps and the things that you have to do, what do you see in the horizon as far as what's coming up for Memorial Day?
Memorial Day at Monday, we usually are closed. We are always closed on Mondays. We are open this every Memorial Day when Huntley has the Memorial Day parade. So we will just have shortened hours from 8 to 1. So a lot of people do come in either because it is a holiday for donuts or just to have donuts and coffee out at the parade. The parade is great because Memorial Day is a very, very special day. And Huntley is very respectful of that day. You know, it's not like Happy Memorial Day, but you need to take a moment and remember anyone that that we lost.
And 4th of mm-hmm. July, you must make something very special for 4th of July.
Actually, no, we really do not. 4th of July is kind of a quieter one for us. So 4th of July is not like, we'll have a 4th of July candy camp, but we will not have anything other than that. It's just too much, too hard sometimes with the chocolate and the heat.
So there won't be a 4th of July donut with red, white, and blue?
We'll do that anyway. We will do that.
Oh, I feel better now.
Yeah. We always will have that. We'll do that for Memorial Day, too. We always try to put little flags on the Memorial Day for Father's Day. We have, like, little plastic hot dogs and hamburgers and grills. We've done that in the past. We try to make it special. Veterans Day, we always try to give away donuts to all our veterans, a free donut. So always try to think of something ahead.
Well, Claudia, we want to thank you for joining us today and sharing time with us. You've been listening to thehuntleyradio.com. If you want more information, click on Contact Us. We're happy to have all of our guests here. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, WHRULP. Thank you, everybody, and hope you enjoy your day.